Earl, and the Tower. One day, Earl went over to see his friend Omar. When he knocked on the door, Omar's mother came to the door with a worried expression. "Earl, I'm so glad to see you. Omar has gone missing. He didn't come home last night. We've been worried about him. His father and friends are out looking for him. Do you know where he's gone?"
"No," said Earl. "I haven't seen him. I didn't know where he went. When we spoke earlier this week, he said he was going into the woods."
"Oh, dear," said his mother. "I'm worried that he's lost and can't find his way home again. If you can help find him, Earl, I'd like it. We've been so worried about him." Earl nodded his head and started thinking where Omar could have gone. Earl remembered that the witch of the woods had once captured Omar and that she had been mad that he had been rescued. Maybe she would try to take Omar again. Maybe she hadn't tried to capture Omar, but had just come across him when he was wandering through the woods. Since the witch's house was hard to find, nobody else probably would check there. Earl decided he would go and take a look. Maybe Omar just had some bad luck. Earl set off through town to the woods. It was a twisty and winding path, but Earl had traveled it several times, and he was careful to listen to make sure that the witch herself wasn't along the path and then catch him. He walked along, carefully putting his feet between sticks and keeping the noise of his walk to a rustle of leaves. He came up the hill through the woods until he could see the hulking house dark against the sky where the witch lived. There was a large tower on the side of the house where he thought the witch would climb and look out from the windows at the top to do her magic or to spy on who was coming. Earl waited behind some trees on the edge of the woods, watching. After a few minutes, he saw the witch walking down from the house with her basket down the path towards the village. As she reached the bottom of the hill and was entering the woods, she changed how she looked from the horrifying, mean woman into a beautiful girl, a trick that she could do with a snap of her fingers. She was probably going to the market, thought Earl. He remembered how she had captured the children and turned them into geese, which she had sold at the market. As he watched, Earl was relieved to see that her basket was empty, no geese for sale. When she had disappeared down the path, Earl decided he would creep up to the house and look in the windows and see whether Omar was there or not. Carefully watching out across the field, he worked his way up through the tall grass behind the house, creeping bent over to hide in the grass until he was at the side of the house. He carefully stood on his tiptoes and looked in the window. He was looking in the kitchen. There was nothing there. Maybe he was wrong, thought Earl. Maybe Omar was just lost in the woods. Earl stepped sideways, moving to the next window in the house, and looked in that one. No one was in the living room. And peeking in the next, there was no Omar in the hallway. No one in the dining room. He could see nothing but the quiet, still, empty house. Earl shook his head. Omar wasn't here. He must be someplace else. Earl started walking away from the house, back through the fields. When he walked a few yards from the house, he heard a sound. He stopped and listened. Huh. Then he thought he heard a shout. He turned around. It had sounded like a kid. It had sounded like Omar. He looked back at the house, but there was no one on the porch. The windows on the house were closed, and he couldn't see anything in them. He must have heard a bird or an animal. He turned to go again, but then there was another shout. Again, he turned around, thinking that he had heard Omar's voice, but there was nothing moving at the house. It was just then that something fell right next to him. He picked it up. It was a crust of bread. He looked up in the sky to see what had happened. He was standing next to the tower, and then high up the wall, near the top of the tower, he saw Omar waving. Omar was waving his arms and shouting at Earl. "Earl," said Omar, "I'm up here. You have to save me. The witch has kidnapped me. She's locked me in this tower, and there's no way out. It's too far to jump. The walls are too smooth to climb down. Help me, please." Earl waved. "Okay, Omar. I'll see if I can help." Earl
ran along the path through the woods back to the town. He ran over to Omar's house, knocked on the door, and Omar's mother came and answered it. He explained that Omar had been captured by a witch and was now locked in a tower at her house on the hill. Omar's mother was horrified and said she'd come right away. She grabbed her husband and told him to follow Earl. Off the three of them went through the woods on a path that neither of them had ever been along, to the open fields, up to the dark house up on the hill. Earl could see that the lights were on in the kitchen. Although he was afraid of the witch, he held on to the hands of Omar's father. They walked up to the porch and knocked on the door. But instead of the old witch that lived there, a beautiful young woman answered the door. Earl knew that this was the witch in disguise. Omar's father was surprised to see such an attractive woman, since Earl kept telling him that an ugly witch lived there. Omar's dad politely asked whether the woman had seen his little boy, because his friend Earl had seen him in the area. The witch smiled at Omar's father. "Have I seen a little boy?" she asked, and then tilted her head to one side as if she was thinking. No, I don't believe that I have. I live here alone, and I have very few visitors. I do go to the village often, and I see little boys in the village, or even sometimes on the path, but I haven't seen any out there today. What does he look like? Omar's father tried to describe him, but the pretty woman just shook her long hair and said, "No, I haven't seen him." Earl then spoke up and said, "But he's in the tower," and pointed towards the tower where he could see a light and that someone was moving around in the upper floor. The witch looked over to the side of the house and then back at Earl and said, "What tower?" Omar's father and mother looked over where Earl was pointing and then back at Earl, and then they said, "I don't see a tower, Earl. What tower are you talking about?" Earl said, "The stone tower, the one that's right there." And again he pointed to the huge stone tower that was attached to the end of the witch's house. Everybody looked where Earl was pointing and right at the tower. But then they looked back at Earl and said, "There's just a field there, Earl. There's no tower. Maybe we have the wrong house." Earl looked at the witch and saw that the witch was slowly shaking her head at him, and Earl suddenly knew that she had made the tower invisible, and only Earl and children could see the tower. Before he could say anything, Omar's father and mother were apologizing to the beautiful woman that they must have had the wrong address. They were so sorry, they said. Their little friend Earl was confused. The witch looked at Earl and said, "Ah, so you are Earl. I've heard so much about you in the village. I hope you'll come visit me. I'd like to have you as a guest." Earl looked at her and knew that she didn't mean have him as a guest, but meant have him as a goose. She wanted to turn him into a goose and sell him in the marketplace. He didn't say anything, but he held on to the hand of Omar's father. They all walked away down the path. The beautiful woman called out, "It's nice to meet you. Please visit me any time. I love having children here, so especially you, Earl. And when you find your friend Omar, bring him with you." When Earl heard that, he pulled on Omar's father's hand and stopped. "Did you hear that? She knew Omar's name. But we didn't say who was missing. We just said a little boy. How did she know the little boy's name was Omar? Don't you see? She knows his name because she has him." But Omar's dad just looked at his mom and then at Earl. "No, Earl. I'm sure we said that it was Omar we were looking for. She seems like a nice lady, living all the way out here in this wood. I think that you just got the wrong house. And anyway, you shouldn't call people names like saying they're witches." All the way home, he listened to Omar's father and mother talk about how they wished they could find Omar, and asked Earl if he could remember where the right house was, where there was a tower, since they wanted to find him. But Earl couldn't say anything because he knew where Omar was and that he was stuck in the tower which no adults could see, even though it was right there in front of them. Omar was still stuck in the tower, thought Earl as he walked home, and he had to get him out, and the adults would not be helpful. But the tower was very tall. Maybe he could get Marigold and a couple of friends to help him find a ladder, which they could carry through the woods to the house, and they could climb the tower to get Omar out. But Marigold was away that week, so Earl found Frankie, and the two of them found the lightest ladder they could, and they took it to the edge of the forest the next day. They waited for the witch to go to the market, which she did, and they dragged the ladder up to the side of the tower. They could see Omar waving, but as soon as they put the ladder against the wall, they realized the tower was too tall. Even standing on top of the ladder, they couldn't reach up. "Help me," said Omar. "You have to get me out of here. The door is locked. I can't get down." Earl shouted up to Omar. "Omar, we're trying, but the house is locked and we can't get in." Earl didn't know what to do. He tried to think of a way that they could get Omar down. They had a rope. They decided to tie the end of the rope to a rock and throw the rock up there with a rope. And once they tied the rope on the rock, however, they couldn't throw it very far. Even standing on the ladder, Omar was too far away to grab it. Trying different ways to swing the rope up, they decided, well, they just have to come back the next day. They took the ladder down and the rope and hid it in the woods and left just in time as the witch reappeared with her basket full of vegetables back up the path coming towards the house. They snuck through the grass and went home and hoped that Omar wouldn't be cooked for dinner that night. The next day, Earl had an idea. He went to the market and he bought a pigeon. He asked for the hungriest pigeon that there was. The man sold it to him. He took the pigeon and he took a very light ball of twine and off he went to the edge of the woods and waited for the witch to leave and then ran over to the tower and shouted up at Omar to put some bread from his dinner on the edge of the sill of the window. He tied the twine to the leg of the pigeon, pointed the pigeon up at the window, and let it go. The bird flew up with the string attached to its leg. Because he was so hungry, he flew up to the sill where he saw the bread, and the pigeon landed and began to eat the bread crumbs. Omar waited for the pigeon to land on the sill so that Omar could grab the string. And sure enough, the bird went very close to the edge of the sill, but then seeing Omar, it went past the sill and landed on the roof. The string was dangling down, but too far away from Omar to catch it. And before Earl could do anything, the bird started to fly away with the string tied to its leg and away from Omar and away from Earl, and it was gone. "Don't worry, Omar," said Earl. I've got another idea." And the next day, Earl came back and he had a lizard that he had bought at the marketplace. And he tied a string that he'd gotten from another ball of twine to the end of the lizard. And he let the lizard go and it climbed up on the edge of the tower and climbed higher and higher, getting closer to the window. And as it came near the window, it was afraid of seeing Omar. And so it went around the tower so that the string was caught up not close to the window but on the roof, and the lizard disappeared under the awning of the roof, and the string got tangled and fell off. As Earl walked home, he didn't know what to do. As he came by one of his friends, he saw that he was having a birthday party. The friend invited Earl to come in and have cake. The kids were there having fun. There was ice cream and candles, and they were playing games. There was confetti and balloons all over the place, and everyone was happy, but Earl knew that Omar wasn't in a place where he could be happy. Instead of dancing around and acting silly and being happy, Omar had been kidnapped and was sitting alone in a small room at the top of a stone-cold tower of a witch. And the witch might be making dinner, but she wouldn't be making dinner for Omar. Instead, she might even be making dinner of Omar. But what could Earl do? His friend saw that he was sad, and tried to cheer him up. They were playing games and bouncing the balloons around. Somebody let one go, and it drifted up and rested against the ceiling with the string hanging down. Earl looked at it and thought it was a good thing they had let it go in the house, because if they had let it go outside, it would have drifted into the sky. That gave him an idea. He asked the kid for one of the balloons and ran home with it. He got from his mother a big spool of thread and another ball of string. He knew how to rescue Omar. He arrived at the witch's house in the late afternoon. She must have already returned from the market because there was smoke coming from the chimney. Earl had to be careful about flying his bright red balloon, or the witch would see it. So he was careful to creep through the field from the back of the house near the tower. He was carrying his balloon, the spool of the thread, a ball of twine, and the rope. He watched the window to make sure she wasn't looking out of it and would see him. He could have waited until the next day, but the next day might be too late for Omar. When he got close to the tower, he looked up at the trees and the leaves and saw which way the wind was blowing, and he arranged himself so that he could tie the balloon to the end of the thread and let the balloon go. It rose into the air, the light thread dangling beneath it. As it went up, it drifted a little bit to the left of the window, so Earl crawled a little bit to the right, pulling it towards the window of the tower. Finally, the balloon was hanging right in front of Omar's window. He waited. He thought at first Omar was asleep, or maybe he had already been taken downstairs to be cooked. But sure enough, he saw Omar's head poke out of the window, look down, and wave at Earl. Earl put his fingers to his lips to tell Omar to be very quiet. Earl pointed at the house to tell Omar that the witch was inside. Omar grabbed the balloon and started pulling up the thread, and as he did so, Earl tied the other end of the thread to the heavier twine. Omar kept pulling, and when the twine was running out, Earl then tied that to the heavier rope. Soon Omar had pulled up all the twine, and then he had the heavier rope. And even though the balloon could not lift the rope, it could lift the thread. And once Omar could get the thread, he could pull that up, and the thread would be tied to the twine, and the twine would be tied to the rope. Omar disappeared into the window with a rope. The rope was just long enough. Earl waited. Earl could hear some scraping sounds as he realized that Omar must be tying the rope to a piece of furniture and moving the furniture near the window. Soon, he saw Omar scramble up onto the sill and look down, holding onto the rope. Earl looked towards the house. The house window was still dark. The witch wasn't watching. He waved his arms to Omar that he should start, so Omar gently climbed over the edge and slid down the rope. It took just a minute. Omar came down until his feet hit the ground, and then he hugged Earl. "Oh, Earl," said Omar, "thank you for saving me. Tonight was the night when I thought she would come for me. You've come in just the nick of time." With that, quietly as field mice, Earl and Omar scrambled down the path towards the forest. When they reached it and were hidden, they turned to look back at the house and tower. They saw a light go on in the tower, and then they heard the scream of the angry witch who saw that Omar had escaped. The end.